When you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory.
Make room in your heart.
Make room in your heart. Mother holds the promise tight. Every wrong will be made right. The road is straight, the burden's light. For in His hands He holds tomorrow.
Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are, and it may set you apart. When you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory.
Make room in your heart.
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 Thank you, thank you. Merry Christmas. Good morning. It is good to see you on this damp, cool Christmas season Sunday morning. It's wonderful to come out and experience a time of worship, and I'm glad that you're here. Good to see some of our friends back this morning who've had little run-ins with the flu and other things in their life. We're glad that you're here, and we celebrate together as we worship. Let me share a couple of announcements with you, if I could. Our women's ministry is going to be offering some cooking classes for 3 weeks in January, January the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th. It'll be at 2 o'clock. And these classes will be $25. That include the cookbook and a kitchen starter kit and the classes. And encourage you to invite some folks to come and be a part of it. It's wonderful for young couples, whether I suppose this could be for men or women.
Absolutely, anybody 15 and older.
Anybody 15 and older, because I was thinking that my son-in-laws and my son do a lot of the cooking, you know, so it could very well be that that would be that. This is an outreach effort, and we hope that it proves to be good for our young couples and good for our community as well as our church. You can call or email to reserve your spot. Don't forget about the Grace House. Be in prayer for the Grace House. They are looking for they're looking for a new director. And I'm getting some nods from Beth over there. So, you know, it's an important ministry in our community. And it would be a great time to make a contribution, no matter what size it is. But notice that they are sponsoring a ton of love, and that's $250 can buy a ton of food, and that can go a long ways. During our Christmas season, it's hard to think of Christmas without thinking of Lottie Moon. I remember that back as far as I can remember. You know, as children, many of us went through Sunbeams, am I right? And then RAs and GAs and Actines and all of that. And our young people today are missing out on a lot of mission emphasis in their life. I hope that we can find a place within our church to continue to teach missions. Our goal is $5,000. I believe we've topped $2,000, but we encourage you to give as the Lord might lead. Not all of us can go all over the world. If you have the opportunity, I encourage you to do that, but we can support missionaries throughout the world. This coming Wednesday is our day of prayer, as usual, 7:30 in the morning, as well as 6 in the evening in the fellowship hall. So encourage you to find a time, either in the morning on Wednesday or in the evening in the fellowship hall. Next Sunday, can you believe it? Our order is changing again. Constantly, just keeping everybody alert, I guess. Next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock is Sunday school, and 10 o'clock is worship here in the sanctuary. And that will hold true for the rest of this month. So 9 o'clock Sunday school, 10 o'clock worship. A new commandment I give you. As I have loved you, you must by this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you
love one another.
And the greatest commandment is all about love, too. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about love. And even in our message this morning, we're going to be talking about love. Not everybody is easy to love, but we are challenged to love in many different ways. We are told in the scripture to build up one another, to encourage one another, to be devoted to one another, to honor one another, to live in harmony with one another, to forgive one another. Is there someone here this morning, as you look around, that you need to forgive? If so, do that, okay? Drop your pride. Go ask forgiveness, okay? Forgive one another. Pray for one another as you look around. Is there someone that's been on your mind that you just need to pull aside in the corner and pray with? That's a way of showing love. Be like-minded toward one another. Accept one another. Comfort one another. Is there someone here this morning that you know is going through a difficult time and you just need to put your arms around? Somebody here just needs a hug. You know what I'm saying? Thinking about you, love you. Be patient with one another. Serve one another. Look to the interest of one another. Stir up or stimulate one another to love and good works. Admonish one another. And it's not stopping there. Our new one this morning is bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Stop passing judgment, criticizing, blaming one another. Do not grumble or complain against one another. Do not slander. Do not lie to one another. We are to be loving. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. That's what this world needs, and that's what each of us needs. So I challenge you not just to hear these words, but to apply these words. Join with me in our opening scripture this morning. It's found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Share with me if you would. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, it's all about his love for us, even when we were yet sinners. Let's now focus our attention on our Lottie Moon video.
There's people that I've met that are like, I wake up, go to work, go in VR. Sometimes I sleep in VR, and then I wake up and do it all over again. And who else is going to evangelize to them? If Dr. Taco never evangelized to me, I don't know where I would be today.
In virtual reality, they are real people all around the world that are genuinely looking for some type of social interaction to fill some void in their life that they might be missing in real life. They're people that are lost. They become recluse or shut in to where they don't want to go out into the real world again, so they retreat to the virtual world.
I was very unhappy in my life. I became an alcoholic. I just became so depressed and spiteful of everybody around me. To get away from that, I just wanted to be alone with other people that were also lonely and introverted. And so I eventually found this game called VR Chat. in virtual reality, people are inherently more sinful than they are in real life. Whenever I was in VR, you know, I would drink and I would just ruin everybody's day. I would say very hateful things to them. I'd say very hurtful things to them. And so a lot of people in virtual reality, they do that. They're able to open up about their sins and they're able to hang out with people that enables them to continue to be even more sinful than they would be in real life. That day, I was just hanging out by myself, drinking, and there's this guy, and he's testing out his new avatar.
Perfect, that's perfect. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2.
And this tiny 2-foot-tall Nutella jar with a face and legs comes running up to us and starts kind of like making fun. And so I was like, we're gonna go ahead and head out, but one of my friends named Silver stayed behind and actually got to talk to Michaela more.
And Silver, she was just sitting alone by herself, so I started talking to her. You know, I was a little drunk at the time, and so I started like sharing all of my woes to her. She was like, there's this guy named Dr. Taco, and I was like, oh, that's the guy I just made fun of. Dr. Taco and I start talking, and I'm like, hey, you know, my life is actually really awful. And he said, you can fix that with Jesus. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And he starts to share the gospel with me, and he continues to share the gospel with me. It started to like fill this void in my heart that I've been chasing with alcohol. And instead of like filling that void with hatred, I wanted to have my heart filled with Jesus. So my husband and I now, we do virtual ministry, which is just like any other real life ministry, except you go into a video game and you tell people about Jesus.
That's just a tool. That's just one of the many, many, many tools missionaries are using to reach out to the lost around them.
It's not very much different, except for me, maybe you're sharing the gospel with, you know, like a SpongeBob character, or you're sharing the gospel with a carrot with legs or a banana with sunglasses.
VR chat is that same avenue to bring people from where they are without Christ to a relationship and a life with Christ.
Although virtual reality isn't the real world, there's real people inside of it, and there's real people there that need the gospel.
This Sunday, we anticipate the celebration of the birth of Jesus, the prophesied Messiah. Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a great light has dawned. We experience a welling up of joy as we read the last section of Isaiah 9:2. A great light has dawned. We joyfully count the days until Christmas when we will celebrate that long-awaited Messiah is born. We reflect on the joy that is ours, not because of anything we have done, but as a gift from God to those who believe in Jesus. Today, I encourage you to lay down the burdens of the past year. You have lifted your voice to God and symbolically placed your personal lament on the leaves that you placed on the tree of lament in the hallway back of us. If you have not yet added your leaf of lament, today is a perfect time for you to do so. Simply write your cry of lament, the situation you can't fix, the circumstance that weighs so heavily upon you. Only He is able to act on your behalf. Trust Him with it today. Trust that He has heard you. And as His child, He loves you enough to do what is best for you in every situation. Philippians 4:4-5. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Psalm 51:12. says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." Pray with me, please. Lord, would you restore the joy of our salvation? Help us to be willing to follow you with all we have as we read the scriptures that remind us who you are and the ways you love us. Ignite in us a sense of joy that overflows out of our hearts. Let this holy joy be contagious and spill over into the lives of those around us. We thank you for the joy that you give. Amen.
At this time, our children can be dismissed to children's church.
Step down from
come, let us.
star of Bethlehem, shining far through shadows dimmed, giving the light for those who long have gone, guiding Jesus lay. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrims through the night, over the mountains to the break of dawn, into the land of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star. Shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us a lamp to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Star of the grace for the redeemed, the good and the blessed. Yonder in glory when the crowd is won, Jesus is now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star,
oh, beautiful star
of Bethlehem,
of Bethlehem,
shine upon us until the glory dawns. Give us a lamp to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine.
Let me say a word of appreciation to our musical team and the wonderful music that they have been preparing for us this morning, as well as next Sunday morning. You're in for a special treat. Next Sunday morning is going to be Christmas Eve, and it's going to be a morning of tremendous music, and I encourage you to come and take the opportunity to invite some friends and family to come with you next Sunday morning, so we look forward to that. And let me just say a word of appreciation. Thank you again for the hard work that you've done during this Christmas season. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And let me, while you're turning, let me just Many of you know this already. Following our worship service this morning, I'm going to be leaving. My granddaughter is involved in a musical at Centerville, and it starts at 10:30. So with a little bit of luck, I should be able to get there about the time it's starting. So if you're looking for me, if you need to say a word to me or whatever, do it after the service here, because a little later on you can look and I will not be found, okay? But anyway, she is Mary this morning, okay? So, and you know, I was thinking, someone asked how old she is. I said, she's 16. I said, do you realize that most people believe that Mary was younger than 16? And when you think about God's plan in all of this, this young lady who might have been 13, 14 years of age, and then you look at the faith that she had. She was a very special person. Luke chapter 2, beginning with the 8th verse. And it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." What is Christmas all about? That is the title of the message this morning. Some of my favorite Christmases took place when I was a child and when my children were younger. Allow me to maybe spark some of your memories, and as I just took the time to think back to my childhood in regards to Christmas. You know, as a child, how could you complain? My mind goes back to when I was in school, and some of you can remember these things. Every classroom had a tree. Was that the case with you when you were coming up? We had a Christmas tree. And had sometimes a role in decorating it. And then I remember the excitement of it all, because the time would come when we would exchange names. And our responsibility was to buy a Christmas gift for one of our classmates. And we would wrap them up and we would bring them in, and then we would put them under the tree. And I remember it was my greatest hope that my present would be in a box about like this, about this deep, and about this wide. Because you see, even as a child coming up, I loved cars. And that was the size of the box of a model car. So, you know, if I got that gift when we passed them out that was about that size, I was even more excited. And then there was the Christmas party that we had. And then, you know, after the Christmas party, unlike today, we received some of our first vacation days from the school year, you know. We didn't get all of those extra days that seemed to be built into the schedule today, you know. We had a couple of days at Thanksgiving, and then, but Christmas, you know, you had a couple of weeks or maybe a few days longer. And then there were the Christmas parades. And in my life, I grew up in Atlanta. Some of you never experienced this, and I am so sorry you didn't. You had that Thanksgiving evening when you gathered in downtown Atlanta, and the bridge that connected the two richest buildings were there, and the bridge itself was 3 or 4 stories in height, and it was glass. So on that night, they started with the lowest level, and it lit it up, and what you saw from the outside was a choir on the inside, and they sang some Christmas music, and then they would light up the next level, and there was another choir, and they would sing, and they would light up the next level, another choir, they would sing until they got to the top, and then they lit the big tree. Oh, massive crowds of people there. And you see, my mom worked there, and I got to sit in Santa's lap, which was something to remember. And for some reason, they had something that was called the pink pig. I've often wondered why a pink pig. Have you ever thought about that? Why a pink pig at Christmas? But it was a ride that children would get on, and it was on rails up at ceiling level, and you went throughout the toy department, and you looked down, and it was something that was very special, even so much that now, a few years later, I still remember it. The singing of Christmas carols. The presents wrapped under the tree and the anticipation. Do you remember that as a child? How much longer to Christmas? And you thought it would never come. And on Christmas Eve, you thought that you would never go to sleep. And then when you wake up on Christmas morning, do you remember that anticipation? And then on Christmas Day, family, we made our way to my grandparents' house, and I looked forward to that because my grandmother would make all of the cakes. She would spend time making cakes, and, you know, I'm talking about a Japanese fruit cake, an Hawaiian fruit cake, and any other type of fruit cake there was. You know, there would be 3 or 4 of those, and I'm talking about the large cakes, you know, and my favorite, I don't know what it was, but it had like a couple of spice layers and a yellow layer in between, and I think it had some black walnuts in it. I don't know. What was that called? Does anybody know? Japanese, okay. You know, that could very well have been it, you know. I remember the cake and the food and all of that and the fun that was there, and I remember looking forward to there was no anticipation here. I was just waiting for my grandparents to give me the envelope and my aunt to give me an envelope because, you see, when I came up, might have been a little different from you. I didn't have a whole lot of money. But my grandparents gave me $5 every Christmas. That was a lot of money. And my aunt would give me $2. And there was joy to the world. Let me tell you something. But two of my favorite Christmases as a child, I remember one Christmas I got a new bike. Do you remember those banana seats? Okay, I got one of those, okay? Some of you remember. I'm bringing smiles to your faces this morning. I see the smiles all over the place. You know, mine was gold, and let me tell you something. I got to where I could ride that thing on one wheel. I would go down the driveway on one wheel with the front wheel in the air. I had the most fun. And then there was a special Christmas when my parents really sacrificed. I know how much they sacrificed. I got a go-kart. Oh, goodness gracious. And I got a scar on my right arm right now to testify to that fact. Oh, goodness. Christmas was a fun time for me as a child, and sometimes we get the idea that Christmas is all about children. Because you see, as adults, we think back, or perhaps you're even right there today, where you have all the rush. My son and his family went shopping at Rivers Crossing yesterday. And he told me about how they got into a situation where the cars were there and nobody could move. They got jammed in such a way that there was no place to go, literally. He said, I ended up having to back out. He said, you wouldn't believe the crowd. You know, we get, as adults, all involved in the rush and the stress. And commercialization, my goodness, I remember when Christmas literally began on Thanksgiving evening, you know, but not anymore. It's there before Halloween is over. There were jokes even made about this. Let's see, what was the joke? You know, the joke was they want me to dress up in my Halloween costume with turkey on the table celebrating Christmas or something like that. And there's financial pressures. Perhaps even for you today in regards, and many of you who were teachers through the years know how January was when you got your check in December. You know, you looked forward. You know, you just look forward and you long for January to come, and actually January to come to an end so you get another paycheck. What's there about Christmas not to like? Allow me to ask a question this morning. What is Christmas really about? I take you to verses 13 and 14 that we've already read when it says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now, the King James says, peace and goodwill toward men. There's several translations. More lean toward that of the NIV and the ESV and so forth, which would say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. The end of verse 14 is filled with meaning, and it tells us, in order, the two things that Christmas is really about. First, Christmas is something that brings glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, it says. As part of God's eternal plan, the birth of Jesus brings glory to God. The question might be, why? It's because the glory and the majesty of God became apparent in human form. Glory should be given to God as we see what transpired in a little village in Bethlehem. Glory. We stop and think just a minute. Try to understand that word. You know, we have a glory as it relates to men. Sometimes we bring glory to men by placing them into a hall of fame. You got the Baseball Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame, all the sports Hall of Fames, you know. And we place them there because of their achievements and what they have done. That makes sense. And they are glorified because of their achievements and what they have done. I was reading just this week, you know, there's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I was reading where Cher said if they offered her $1 million, she would not accept it. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Did any of you read that article? She felt snubbed because of all of these years, she has never been included in the Hall of Fame. She wants what? Glory? She wanted to be recognized for what she has done in regards to music. Here in the scripture, it says, glory to God in the highest. What is Christmas really about? What God has done, which deserves glory. He needs to be glorified and with a spirit of gratitude for what he has done. What has he done? He's come in human form. He's in the manger as the Lamb of God. And because of what God has done at Christmas, Christmas should be about glorifying God for what he has done. One commentator says, having been informed of the Savior's birth, a birth under such circumstances and with such a self-sacrificing purpose, these angels never before had been so thrilled. No wonder they shouted, "Glory to God in the highest." So that's what Christmas is still about today. God's glory is the primary purpose of the plan of salvation. It's an opportunity, first and foremost, to worship God for what he has done. There's a gospel song. Some of you like gospel music. Ernie Haas and Signature Sound sang this song. And the words of the song, I would try to sing it, but I won't. "Look up, fear not," the angel said. "Behold, the Messiah's come, the one whom you read." And as they spoke to men that day, the heavenly host around the throne joined in to say, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men." Heavenly angels announced his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. "Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. He was born to save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord. Amen." That was the song of the angels. That should be our song. One of my favorite songs is "To God Be the Glory." I love that song. And there's no better time than around Christmas to say, "Thank you, God. Glory to God for what he has done." And the second part of the message we find in those verses, it says, "And good news to men," or "on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Another translation, "on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." What are we talking about? We're talking about the gospel. While interpretations on this verse vary, I think that the angels said this: peace is now given to people whom God has graciously chosen, upon whom God's favor rests. The Bible uses the term the elect, the chosen, his children, those who have received salvation. Ephesians 1 verses 4 through 8 says it this way: "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons," or his children, "through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. On earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Who does his favor rest upon? His children, you, those of you who've experienced his love, his mercy, his grace, those of you who by faith placed your trust in him, his favor rests upon you. In other words, it rests upon all of those who become his children through faith. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about the greatest event that ever took place in history, the coming of Jesus Christ as Savior, which brought glory to God and good news to the people. Did you hear me? It brought glory to God and good news to all the people. It stated very clearly, and perhaps the most memorized verse of Scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Okay? May God be glorified. Glory to God, because he loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. And he goes on to say that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's the good news. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is who we are. What is Christmas all about? It's a time of glorifying God for his grace and his love through Jesus Christ. Paul emphasizes it again in the second chapter, and he makes it perfectly clear. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin in which you used to live. In the third verse, he says, you were deserving of God's wrath. Do you grasp that? You were dead in your transgressions and sins, and you were deserving of God's wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ Jesus when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God, which came as the Lamb of God in the manger in Bethlehem. May God be glorified for all that he has done. The good news should bring peace to all men. Have you come to the point in your life? Most of you can celebrate with the angels by glorifying God because of what he has done, because you've experienced his grace, his mercy, his love. That's the reason to celebrate Christmas. But yet, there might be those who don't have that assurance, who really don't celebrate Christmas for what it really means, for what God has done. We glorify him. And what God has done is to bring salvation to whosoever believeth in him. Whosoever experiences his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness by faith. Christmas this year could be the greatest Christmas of all if you've never experienced that salvation. Perhaps this morning you might like to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, as his Spirit works in your life. By faith, you put your trust in him. By faith, you receive the assurance of eternal life and heaven as your eternal home. The question being, why not today? Why not today? For all of those who are here who are God's children, you have experienced salvation. We should be gathered as a mass today, glorifying God for what he has done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our memories of Christmas, Lord, of the past as children. But more so, Lord, for Christmas as we know it, as your children who have received your grace, your mercy, your love, we receive salvation through faith, Lord, and we glorify you and we praise you for the assurance that is ours in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you might give the boldness that is needed for anyone here this morning who's yet to acknowledge Jesus as Savior of their life, to step out and to come forward unashamedly, to pronounce their faith in you, and to receive the assurance that brings peace that is beyond all understanding. Lord, anyone here this morning, I pray, that doesn't have that assurance, that today might be the day. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. As we stand, as we sing, you have the opportunity to respond. You can glorify God in the way in which you sing, the way in which you just might bow where you are, or the way in which you might respond by faith to his gift of salvation. Would you stand?
Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 199, O Come All Ye Faithful.
His love, his mercy, his grace is God's gift to us through the babe, the Lamb of God in the manger. He lived his life without sin. He died upon the cross. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. And the next thing that's going to happen is he's coming. Father, we worship you. We thank you. Our hearts are filled with gratitude. Lord, we can't